Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Woo!
Gonna be a day.
I was trying to get a word out of my mouth when I said that.
Words are hard.
They are, especially words like and.
Yes.
And only on May 24th, 2018.
Right. Coming, I mean, it's almost half the
year is
over.
What's happening out there? Out of this, look out this window.
May gray has arrived. If June gloom is coming, May gray is here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Well, I think it's lasting through the week, and I think that it's coming back into the 80s on Monday, perhaps?
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
It's like whiplash. I can't decide if I should wear 9 jackets or none, or just go to the beach and just forget about the whole thing. So
many people dress in layers, don't
True.
You think?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mostly women.
To.
Are you a New Yorker?
Yes, originally.
Smart girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If for no other reason than every time you ride the subway, you got to peel off a layer, right?
Well, don't peel off too many.
Well, it depends. You might get some more attention there. I got to tell you, I get a call about 10 minutes ago that one of our stunt performers broke a leg.
Oh, no.
And they
Ouch.
Need a replacement. And I'm like... it's like, it just seems like when something like that happens, I mean, you realize what kind of industry we're in and how, I mean, hundreds of people are depending on one thing and it goes wrong. Camera freezes up or whatever. I tell you, I love living in LA, but it doesn't happen in Kentucky where I'm from. You rarely get a call. My computer's down. We have to solve this immediately or it costs us $100 million. You know, it's like, wow, what happened? So it's interesting when you start your day off like that. How are you guys doing?
I'm great. Yeah. I'm
good.
Cool.
Great.
Cool. Well, we got some talent in the studio today here on May 24th, like you said, Michael. We have a fantastic show for our listeners, don't we?
Indeed, we do. We have two of the members of the Actors Gang, and they'll be telling us all about an exciting new project, Angels, Devils, and Other Things.
Cool title. I love that. I love that. This world premiere production of 11 original short plays written and directed by the Actors Gang Ensemble is on stage through June 16th. Cool.
Well, we can't wait to hear all about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, what is that?
And ado.
And ado. There you go. Let's welcome our guests, Katie Zuckerman
That's
and
right.
James Bain.
Yeah.
They're wild.
You're
going wild for
you.
So glad to have you guys. I've been a fan of the Actors Gang for a while. Such good work going on over there. What a fun group to be a part of, yeah?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Cool.
Well, we were just talking right before you arrived that we were talking about Tim Robbins and how much time he actually devotes to the Actors Gang. So he
Dedicated.
Has quite a presence there, they're saying. So, which is pretty great for you because that's part of the... process, right? I mean, he put the gang together and he comes in and is he vocal when he needs to be vocal and saying something to the company that
there's a lot of company meetings and company events and things like that go on.
She puts the emphasis on a lot of company meetings.
Yeah, he's not shy to run his theater.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't be in this town, right?
No.
Because of what we were just talking about. I mean, this industry, it's vital that you can react and hold things together and be versatile. And I think that's one thing the Actors Gang has done. And not only that, but short plays these days are never done anymore. You never get to see really great short plays. And this is 11 of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool opportunity to get out there and see that. About how long is each piece?
10 minutes, ideally.
Cool.
Trying to keep them down to 10.
And are each of you, too, are each of you in more than one play?
Yes.
You
mm-hmm.
are. Yes. And so that works throughout the whole company? They take multiple...
Generally speaking, some people more, some others a little bit less, but whatever serves the story is what we try to cast like. Yeah.
The idea of a short play that has the full arc and gives you that full satisfaction is so hard to do. And you realize that it's become a little bit of a lost art. So people who can do it well, it's one of the most enjoyable nights of theater. You get continual resolution throughout the night of these really great stories. That's a fun thing.
Well, I think we will talk more with our guests in just a minute, but we should probably pay some bills. What do you think?
You want to keep our sponsors on board?
I think so.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I like how you worked that in there.
Thank
you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, our primary sponsor, presenting sponsor, is Princess Cruises.
That's right.
For coming on board, we thank them as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month.
Munch. Yeah. You can munch during the month. It's a good thing.
I'm hungry. I want lunch. I want munch. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner will have a cruise awarded them for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Wow.
So you can do that, ladies and gentlemen, by listening to our program and going to latalkradio.com. Go to our State of the Arts page, and you will see the Princess logo. You click on it. It's a very quick entry, and boom, there you go.
And while you and I are not eligible, our guests today are.
That's
so
true.
Get out there and enter.
That's true.
Yes,
good.
Watch them both whip out their phones now and enter.
Exactly.
We've lost their attention for the day. We'd also like to acknowledge, of course, Performing Arts Live, who's been with us for so many years here. One of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We are very grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed. And to be sure, Andrew, anything else that we can say here other than I think you and I haven't seen each other a week. So
did you miss me?
I did.
Okay, I could tell because when I came in, I didn't get a hug.
Yeah.
And that obviously shows me affection and care. Where's my love, man? I didn't get applause when I walked in.
Have I ever given you a hug before?
No, and that's part of the problem. Okay. Now, you've been busy. You've been moving all week, right?
Moving, unpacking boxes.
No fun there.
The last of 47, I might add.
So, 47 boxes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huge boxes.
And settling in okay? The pups are adjusting?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear. Now, are you adjusting?
Sort of.
Have you slept at all in the last week?
You know what? I'm sleeping better than ever, actually. I don't know why that is, but it's probably because I'm so tired of, you know, working and doing all the moving stuff. Nevertheless, yes, very happy there.
Well, I think that's great. And obviously, there is a lot that we can talk about, having missed a week together and, you know, gotten to see each other very much during that week. But I had a great theatrical week. I got to go see a reading of a new play, which was fantastic, called Cloud Dreams, which was really cool. It's about kind of what happens when you have a loved one on life support and how the family copes with that. And I was reminded again of how many amazing playwrights we have in this town, people who dedicate themselves to their craft, who shut themselves indoors behind, you know, so many walls so they can get some privacy and work. And I was really touched by this. Not only that, because we live in a society now where there's so many ways to keep people going and to keep people alive, and that's a great thing, but we miss the families who are dealing with that, who go home and have to make the trips to the hospital.
Yeah.
My little girl was in the NICU for 17 days after she was born.
Wow.
Tiny little thing, just under 3 pounds. And it was the greatest time because the nurses and the doctors there were so kind, and you forget how hard that job is to do. So Cloud Dreams, if you get a chance to look it up, maybe you'll find it, but a great, great project. Also Plummet, which was another new play featured, which was really, really good. So it's interesting to see kind of, we get so much theatrical things where we see great performances, but to see the, you know, the sausage being made is kind of a cool thing as well.
Where did the readings take place?
Both of these were at the a local theater, the Lyndhurst Theater up in Malibu, a small performance space, and it was interesting to kind of see how people come together around a playwright to help them workshop their projects and make things happen, which was cool. And I was glad I went because a lot of times I think, oh no, a new play. Oh no. But when you see a good one, it is such a wonderful thing.
Worth it.
Yeah, because you realize there were people who saw Salesman, Death of a Salesman, for the first time and went, yeah, I think that Arthur Miller's got some talent. I'm going to step out on a limb and say he might go somewhere, you know, which is kind of cool because you realize that it's an art form where there's not a whole lot of applause for. So, and that's, of course, something we're going to be talking about a little bit more today.
Yes.
And perhaps we should take a moment and bring in these two cool people sitting next to us.
I think so.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Our first guest is an actress, teaching artist, writer, and producer. She has trained, performed at the Guthrie Theater, and holds an MFA in acting from one of my favorite schools, Cal Arts.
As a theater artist, she has acted primarily in ensemble, generated, and original work since she began performing in New York City since over 10 years ago. At such notable venues, I might add, as Richard Foreman's Ontological Hysteric, PS 122, Kasama? Am I saying that correctly?
Can I help you? Shoshama.
Nice. Oh, wow. I would not have gotten that. That's great.
Shoshama
Gallery. And the Abingdon Theater. Right?
She is a teaching artist for the Actors Gang Prison Project and Education Department, where she has been a company member for 2 years. Film and TV and voiceover credits include Skull, The Cat, Burglar, Iris, and just to name a few.
She's here with us today, however, to tell us about her current project, Intimacy Why, one of the original short plays being presented in Angels, Devils, and Other Things with the Actors Gang. Please help me welcome one more time, Katie Zuckerman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
Now, Katie, as our millions of listeners across the globe start Googling your name, they're going to have some trouble, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because you have stepped outside the norm, my friend. You said, I do not take K's and T's in my name.
That was my parents.
How do you spell your name?
It's C-A-D-Y, Katie.
C-A-D-Y. So as you Google her to see her beautiful face with some of her amazing resume credits, be sure you put in C-A-D-Y Zuckerman, Katie Zuckerman. Tell us a little bit how you got involved with this amazing festival and with the Actors Gang, please.
Sure, yeah. So I saw a show at the Actors Gang, I think it was almost 10 years ago, called Break the Whip, and I was incredibly moved and charged, and I didn't understand why it affected me so deeply. It was the style in which the Actors Gang works, where the emotional states are really intense, and there's eye contact constantly being made with the audience. And so I kept track, and I stayed in touch with some star players there, and then finally got into class about 3 years ago, and then became an associate company member about a year or two ago. And from there, just kept playing and workshopping, and did a few productions this year. And then when this was presented to us as an option to do a festival series of 10-minute plays, I thought, I think I have something that I never finished, and this might be the chance to do it. So
cool.
I broke out this piece called Intimacy Why. And it's a experimental tour of some
heartbreak. You've written this?
Yeah, so I wrote it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But you said something interesting. You said that one of the things that drew you to the Actors Gang was the constant eye contact.
The eye contact
with the audience?
Yeah, so there's no fourth wall, like in realism or traditional theater. People will kind of ignore an audience, whereas we are always...
It's weird, because the audience usually ignores me when I perform. But that's good. It's nice that you've done it.
We acknowledge it, we share, and we embrace them.
I love that. And that is a little bit jarring when you first walk in.
Yeah.
Is every production done that with the actors?
Not necessarily, but it's a tool that we do use often in our style.
Because I've seen ones that I thought were more representationally done, but it's interesting when I watch that, it does make you feel at first uncomfortable, but then it engrosses you so much more because you feel that connection with the performer on such a deep level.
Yeah, I agree.
Very cool. Very cool.
So we were talking before we went on the air, Andrew, about the, it's not so easy to get to become a member of this company. So tell us the process again.
Sure. So what would normally happen is actors come and audition for a Monday night class that is a tuition-based class. And then after some time, you may be invited to our workshops. And then once you do that, you're sort of part of the company. And there's a lot of responsibilities that come along with that and training. And it is a family, and it's incredible. And I feel super lucky to finally have found my artistic home in L.A. Because after CalArts, I was a little bit... lost.
And as a group, how many active actors are there?
I think there's about 50 of us.
Yeah, 50. 50.
Yeah.
But doing various and assorted different things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge company in that there's certain people who focus more on education or Prison Project. We're also teaching artists. So some people are more focused on just primarily acting. There's also the tech aspect of it. And, you know, there's so many moving parts that everybody really has to work together to make it function properly, and it's amazing.
When did Tim Robinson. Put this all together.
1981.
Yeah. And then it was not with just alone.
Yeah, it was Tim and all of his fellow classmates from UCLA.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Vanguard members. Vijay Foster mm-hmm. Is one who stands out, and Cameron Dye, and there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Ettinger is the co-artistic director. I mean, she's everything. Mm. So they are the foundation, and we sort of rise on what they have built.
Is there a limit to how long you can become a company member?
I think, you know, as long as one is dedicated and part of the energy there, then you could live forever
and
through the art.
Do people
live forever through the art? That's going to be the name of my next show. That's a great name for a show. Live forever through the art. Okay.
So there must be some sort of balance of people who leave the company for other reasons, and that allows
for new talent to come
exactly.
in.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Sounds exciting, because I've never seen anything over there.
Oh, well, then I think it's time. There's a show tonight.
Oh, really?
Say what you can. How funny you mention that.
There we go.
I'll be in and out in 10 minutes.
8 p.m.
Nice. Very nice.
8 to 10 p.m.
Now,
8 to 8:10 p.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
For one show.
One.
Right. Now, it's interesting, because the show we're talking about here is Angels, Devils, and Other Things,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is such a great title, because so much in life basically breaks down to it's either really good, really bad, or it's somewhere in the middle. You're going to find it one way or another. It's a lot of stuff like that. How did the title come about, and what is the subject matter of each of these shows?
Well, I think when we were developing the themes, we just brought in whatever spoke to us, and then it emerged as a lot of questions about life, death, the afterlife, and everything that happens in between. So there's certain through lines where it's just about, I would say, identity, heartbreak, loss, family, all kinds
wow.
of, yeah. It really runs the gamut, but I would say you'll see a lot of Lucifer, you'll see some God, you'll see some Jesus, and some other things.
Sounds like a tent revival. Now tell me, are people going to laugh? Are they going to cry?
Oh, yeah,
what should they expect?
It's really, the night has been curated in a way where there are a lot of comedic elements as well. It's not all dark and dramatic, although my piece certainly is.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I don't know, there's some fun in your piece too.
There's a moment or two of relief.
You got to put a few in.
Yeah.
So how does Brian Finney fit into this?
He is the producer of the evening, so he's been very much in conversation with Tim about curating the night in a way that creates a flow mm-hmm. so an audience is able to enjoy it. And
awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard job to do if you
no
have
kidding.
That many plays on your hand.
Yeah.
Try to figure it all out.
And well, and to make them run smoothly and to give them those proper transitions so you
right,
don't jarringly rip someone to the next subject, yeah.
Yeah, that's always the challenge with this kind of work, is so it doesn't feel like a variety show,
right.
but there's a flow to the evening.
Is there an intermission?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is 11 short one original plays. They're 10-minute plays approximately each. Angels, Devils, and Other Things. Written and directed all by Actors Gang Ensemble members. And it runs May 19th through June 16th, correct?
Yes.
Now, if someone were to walk up and get tickets at the box office, that wouldn't be a problem?
Yeah, no, there's certainly be tickets available at the door. If not, you can always go online.
And especially Thursday nights, it's pay what you can.
Oh, that's a great deal.
Oh,
that's
really?
Exactly what I can afford. That's excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, we want people to come see good theater.
Cool.
And, you know, and sometimes a theater ticket price is
no kidding.
A little steep for some, you know, especially us working actors. And,
right.
So, you know, we want to make it affordable for anyone to come see it. And, you know, and so we always encourage to come any night, but especially on Thursday nights. Yeah.
So normally tickets are $34.99, and seniors are discounted to $30.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting too, because students can get in for $25, which is still a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But Thursday evenings, 8 p.m., pay what you can.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that literally means what you have in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's great.
And
I love
tickets
it.
Are available. theactorsgang.com or by telephone by calling 310-838-4264.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Easy as that.
That's right. And if you haven't been to the Actors Gang, it's a great location there on Venice Boulevard in Culver City. You can just Google Actors Gang Los Angeles or Actors Gang Culver City. It'll pop right up.
And you know, Culver City has become a really cool kind of place to go to now. And a lot of theater happening there with the Kirk Douglas.
It's down the street.
Yes. Theater down there, Center Theater Group's extension.
It's a great point.
Yeah, and great restaurants and great things to do. So,
yeah,
get down there and see this. And if have you ever thought as because you're an actress
mm-hmm.
of note, I think here, and have you ever thought that you would like to maybe become a full-time writer or become a director or any other aspect?
This is the first time I've really dedicated myself to something like this. I mean, I've worked on other projects before, but it's a possibility, yes.
Yeah.
And maybe this will turn into a full-length play. I don't know, but for now, I'm just glad I've been given a platform to explore with this.
What inspired you to become an actress?
Definitely when I was a little girl, I saw my sister and brother on stage all the time.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be like them.
Yeah.
So. And was your family supportive of
that? Yeah, totally. My parents were amazingly supportive. And like,
do they have three children, all who still perform?
Well, no. My sister works in journalism, and my brother is a composer.
Wow.
So we all went into the arts.
Yeah, that's great. That's great and terrible for parents, because I know if my children go into the arts, I will have constant hypertension, just worrying about, will they be able to make a living? But it's funny, because once you're in it, it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
You know, you're dedicated to your work, and you don't worry about that kind of stuff. But as a parent, I sympathize deeply with your two parents. So.
Were your parents, though? Were they?
They were in spirit, but they were to earn a living and support a family. That my mom was a teacher and my father was a lawyer.
They had to. They needed to pay for three artist children.
Yep,
so
that was what it was.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. And nice that they supported you guys to where you all had that side of your personality where you could make careers out of something you loved as children.
Yeah. I think they wanted to do it themselves and they couldn't because of the time that they lived in. And so they chose to help us figure that out.
Very good point. Very good point.
Awesome.
Good, dedicated parents.
We have a live arts calendar, do we today?
You want to do it? Let's
sure.
do it.
I think we should.
Sounds good.
Stephen Belber's Tony-nominated comic drama Match sparkles with wit and heartfelt emotion as it examines how our lives are shaped by the choices that we make and the secrets that we keep.
Mike and Lisa Davis arrive at the apartment of Toby Powell, who lives alone in Inwood in the northern tip of Manhattan. They are there to interview him about his life as a dancer and choreographer, but it is soon evident that their agenda is multi-layered as the life story that Toby begins to tell them unfolds. What happens next will either ruin or inspire them, and definitely will change their lives forever.
Performances run May 11th, so that's current, through June 16th on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Westchester Playhouse. For tickets or more information, call 310-645-5156 or visit kentwoodplayers.org.
That's right. And so many great plays going on out there, Michael. No excuse for people not to get off their couches and go see something, right?
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff
say.
Going on. And we're going to continue our conversation now with our representatives from the Actors Gang, one of the great theaters working here in Los Angeles, a good group of performers who continually put up. I mean, I think there's, how many shows are in the Actors Gang seasons this year?
Oh my gosh, I think we did at least five.
I mean, that's a really full season and a lot of different subject matter to cover. So lots of
everything is original?
Not always, but this season it was. Uh-huh. Yeah, this season was all original work.
Yeah, pretty cool. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, was born and raised in Clay County, Tennessee. My neighbor.
Tennessee.
That's right. We need Cole on here to sing a little Tennessee music.
Yeah.
A 2002 graduate of Campbellsville University, he is a Marine Corps veteran with two tours in Iraq. After the military, he received his MFA in theater from USC in 2013. He has been a member of the Actors Gang for over a year and is an actor and a teaching artist there.
Some favorite stage credits include Winter Solstice, Pagan Holiday Show, Ajax in Iraq, and Tracers. Television and film credits include HBO's The Brink, Young and the Restless, NCIS LA, Lethal Weapon, Collie and the Killer. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
The Texas Zombie Wars.
Yep.
And is here today to tell us about his current role in the Actors Gang production of Angels, Devils, and Other Things. Please welcome back James Bain.
Yeah. James, I got to ask straight off, which would you rather be, stuck in a theater with a show that's not doing well or back doing a tour in Iraq?
Whoa. that's a hard one.
You mean a theatrical tour
one of the most amazing things that anybody's ever done was doing a show about, I can't remember the name of it now, it was about soldiers trying to put on shows in the desert. And I saw it, and I laughed, because I've got buddies over there building hospitals right now, doing really great work. But you realize there's artists in the military right now stuck doing shows in the middle of the desert because they can't stop doing their art form. That's got to be brutal.
You can't stop creating, but like, when I was first at SC getting into really pursuing my acting career, taking it seriously. Like halfway through it, I was like, I'd rather go back to the military.
Put me back in fatigues, man. Like,
because you know, I used to think like the strongest, bravest men, would just weather feelings and let them, and now here I have to be vulnerable and open, and I'm like, holy crap, this is like scary. I've been in combat. Sometimes I'd rather be shot at than have to show my feelings,
Well, now, obviously, and we joke here a lot, but we don't want to make light of what you did. That's impressive, and certainly a huge round of applause, not only for you, but for all of our military men and women out there. But I do think that it's important that we start noticing, how many people are in the military, A, because they may not have another option when they get out of high school. That happens a lot, certainly where I'm from in Kentucky. A lot of kids who would love to go do other things but haven't been exposed to the opportunity. But more importantly, artists who feel like this is a good, solid career to jump in and go serve their country and do some good work. But you don't stop being an artist just because you have to be a Marine or a seaman or an airborne person. You go out there and you realize that you still want to create, but you have no tools at your disposal.
No.
Did you deal with that at all on your tours?
It's incredible to think that it feels like a movie I watched. I always liked theater, and I did it in undergrad and in high school, but I became a Marine because, acting wasn't a job. That wasn't a real, come from, one traffic light town in Tennessee, and I was like, I can't be an actor.
You got to play.
And you're out there and you make funny videos. We had a lot of downtime, trying to occupy ourselves, occupy our minds. And, and you talk about like what you want to do when you get out and everything.
Right.
And my last 2 years was up in D.C. at the Naval Hospital. And I see these guys coming back, missing arms and legs. And they're doing triathlons and marathons and coming just – surpassing these seemingly, huge disabilities. And they're like, hey, Sergeant Bain, what do you want to do when you get out? And I'm like, I always wanted to be an actor, but I don't know if I can do that. And I'm telling that to the guy who has no legs or runs a marathon.
Right.
Like, it really put stuff in perspective for me.
Yeah.
And they're like, you should just go. Why not?
That's a great story because it speaks to the fact that one of the scariest things to do is to get up and perform.
Yeah.
I mean, that's world known as, public speaking is one of the most terrifying things to do. But also to the power of the human spirit, not only, of course, the people who overcome the disabilities, but to overcome your own kind of fears to go follow your dreams. What a great story.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Is it an elective process to leave the Marines? I mean, do you sign up for 2 years?
Hopefully it is.
Yeah, don't tell them where I'm at.
That's right.
I had an eight-year contract. Yeah, 8-year contract, and I finished that, got an honorable discharge, and
you went in straight out of high school, correct?
No, I initially joined the reserves between my junior and senior year of college.
Did they recruit you, or did you go to them?
I went to them. I saw a poster and to be a pilot, and I was like, you know what? I would like to do that. But I was offensive lineman in college.
Yep.
And I was a little too big, and they were like, you need to lose weight because you're big, and so I watched, Full Metal Jacket about 1,000 times and was like, yeah, I'm still going to do this. It looks crazy, but I'm going to do this, And I went – actually, in a year's time, I went from being an offensive lineman in college, so I was like 335.
Wow.
And I graduated boot camp at like 203, 205,
and a lot more muscle.
There's just a lot less person. My parents, I walked by my parents, my parents walked by me like on family day. They just,
wow.
I was like, hey,
didn't even
like,
notice
no.
you.
And I didn't tell a lot of people what I was going to do. I didn't say I was going to join the Marines. I just I wanted to do it. I didn't want to be talked out of it. And people who saw me after boot camp, who didn't know I went to military, they saw like that I was like emaciated and no, like a bald head, almost a head of shape, and they're like, oh my god, I didn't know you had cancer, I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, no,
wow.
I joined the Marines. They're like, what?
It's one or the other.
That's amazing too. Also, I want to play behind a lineman who's 305 in high school. That's pretty cool. That's a great thing, because a lot of linemen are 285 trying to fake it up there on the offensive line. They're eventually going to go be linebackers or whatever, but that's a cool thing. And that transition into theater, into the arts, must be really cool when you go to a group like the Actors Group, which has that same family atmosphere as the military. Hopefully not
but
quite
also,
as militant.
and to ride on what Andrew just said, do you bring a certain discipline that you learned as a Marine into your new career as an actor?
There's a lot of analogous between the military and the entertainment world, you know, whether it's in a theater or on set, you know, there is a chain of command, you got the director, you know.
That's a good point.
And everybody has their roles, and whether it's on the stage or behind the stage, or, you know, you're in the booth or you're behind the camera, and it takes all these people together, working together, and showing up on time and working hard and doing their job. And pushing through the hard times and stuff. And it's so much, like, the military prepared me so much for acting and for the business. And it also, you know, allowed me to be like, you know what? I can face anything. I can face any, like, I'm, you know, I've been, after getting shot at a couple times or blown up a couple times, you're like, I can do about anything I want. So, like, and then also hanging around on set, like, when you're on set and then, you know, it's like, hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
Like, I've waited so much longer.
Yeah, you're
in the
not
military.
In a foxhole.
Like, I'm like, I can wait for days, man, whatever.
Wow.
As long, you know, as long as you're going to feed me good,
that's amazing. Well, that's
craft services, really, you know,
right?
Yeah, you don't get that on the front lines very often, do you?
Not really.
Tell me about the show that you're involved in with Angels, Devils, and Other Things. What piece do you do? Is it just one piece you're in with us?
No, I'm in a couple. Actually, I'm in Katie's piece
nice.
With her, and she's in my piece.
Yes.
I wrote a piece, and it has to do with suicide and veteran suicide and some dark topics, but I'm trying to get to where it's more, I don't know, where people, it's more approachable, you know, and we can really talk about it because, you know, I think it's a big issue, mental health, especially in the military. And it's about me and my struggle. My father and my grandfather and a best friend of mine all committed suicide.
Mm,
and
my goodness,
had I not had art, theater, I don't, you know, to have a creative outlet, I feel so fortunate. And that's what I try to encourage other veterans. And there's a strong veteran community here in LA in the industry, and you know we get to do a lot of it's a lot of art available if you're looking for it and stuff. And I try to encourage anyone, whether you're a veteran or not, if you have any kind of issue, to find your creative outlet or find your, you know, your positive outlet, whether it's, you know, making art or hiking or bird watching, you know, whatever your thing is, you know, because we have to have somewhere for that stuff to go, right? And I just feel very fortunate that I found a place for mine. And this whole process started when I was at SC. We had to do a solo writing class and a performance, and then again I got to do it this performance at the Geffen. It was a program, a veterans writing program at the Geffen, where these veterans are taken through this process with April Fitzsimmons. She's actually she'd been a gang Actors Gang member, and she's an Air Force veteran. And you work at this basically a one man or like a, you know, a solo performance. And at the end of it, you get to perform at the Geffen, and it was amazing. It was one of my dreams always to be on stage at the Geffen, and I got to do that one night, and it was amazing. And when Tim asked for our plays for this show, I submitted mine, even though it was initially as a one-man solo thing, and I was like, you know what, I think I can change it up. And I have actually all women in it now.
All female veterans?
No.
I mean, but I'm saying their characters are veterans?
Well, the characters are all me and...
That's really cool, though. That's an interesting topic that a lot of people haven't addressed.
And the director is also a woman, and they knock it out of the park. I couldn't be happier with it. And it's just amazing to see their take on it and their beauty and their dedication, too. And like Katie said, we are a family there. And we take care of each other, and we put our heart into each other's work. And
now, do you act in the piece as well as write and direct it?
I didn't direct it. I just wrote it, and I'm in it just at the end because I kind of wanted them to do their thing, and I just get to I guess add a little bit at the end, but that's about it. They really carry they carry the weight of it.
Right. Well, we live in a changing world, obviously, and one of the things that we have to dedicate ourselves to is taking care of our veterans because that's crucially important, and of course, taking care of everyone who we come in contact with. Because if we notice one thing, we notice that the way we affect people determines how they affect other people, which eventually comes back to affect us. And if our veterans aren't healthy and happy, if they're not able to keep going forward, then I don't think we've done our job as a society. So that's a great topic to go over.
Well, you know, the title of James's play is James's play.
You know, it's an interesting title. I thought Andrew's play might be good, but you know, you can go with James's play. That's a good thing too. What a fun thing too. Obviously, you have a sense of humor about this, and you do seem like you've been very well adjusted. Could I ask the gentleman that you'd mentioned who'd committed suicide? Were they veterans as well?
So my grandfather was a veteran. My father was not, and then my best friend was in the Marines with me as well.
Yeah,
and his name's Brad, and his suicide wasn't the first veteran suicide I'd been close to, but his was the closest and most impactful because it happened about 9 months after my father's suicide.
Wow.
And I'm James Edward Bain III, and so that kind of struck a chord in me when I found out, and I didn't find out that my grandfather had done that until my father did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, and I don't know why, you know, I can speculate why either one of them. And I know as a veteran, I've experienced a lot, you know, just as a, you know, as a person, I've experienced a lot of reasons and thoughts in accordance to that. And I decided instead of ignoring them to address them and acknowledge them and admit them and, but then put them in a positive, creative way. And I'm hoping that if anything, you know, someone sees my piece and it gives them pause or second thought, or maybe opens the eyes to someone like maybe someone's going through something and maybe I should say, you know, hi, what's up, you know.
Yeah, maybe just, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, just, you know, I think that's something, going back to like where I thought men were supposed to be like these stoic creatures, and then now I'm learning that, you know, the bravest people are the people who can open up and show that vulnerability and show how much we are alike each other.
Yeah.
And I think that I've healed a lot watching you know, theater and performances and even, you know, film and TV, watching things that I relate to. And I understand, I'm like, oh crap, I'm not alone in that. Like, I think like that too. I still have those feelings, you know, and that, I think that really speaks to the more human side of us.
Well, there are a lot of definition of courage. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I cannot think of a better one than what you just said, which is going through something that important and that personal and having the courage to stand up and talk about it and try to make things better. Kudos, and honestly, that's a really fantastic one. Really fantastic.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Angels, Devils, and Other Things, 11 original 10-minute plays written and directed by the Actors Gang Ensemble, currently on stage through June 16th at the Actors Gang Theater in Culver City. And tickets are very easy to secure. You go to theactorsgang.com or call by telephone at 310-838-4264. Mm-hmm. And they are reasonably priced. We urge you to put down the remote in front of your television, stand up, get your keys.
Go out and interact with people.
Go out,
get go your, out and see the world.
Go get your car.
That's right. That's
get out there and take your children, too.
That's
My goodness, if it's appropriate for them.
Performances here are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, all at 8 p.m. No matinees, is that correct?
Sundays at 2.
Sundays at 2, okay.
Almost every weekend.
Oh, I see that here at the top of the next page. Excellent.
Funny
well,
how that
fantastic.
Works.
Right, well, I didn't know I got to turn pages. Here's the interesting thing about the Actors Gang. Every time you go there, it's a cool experience, it's unique, and it's something that you're going to get a lot out of. This certainly sounds great. And a series of 11 10-minute plays, a lot of resolution, a lot of stories to be told, a very cool thing.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, you know, we've had a great hour, but it's almost that time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah?
And now, embarrassing moments.
Our audience is embarrassing.
That's
anticipation
right.
for
right.
them. So, Katie.
Oh, God.
You're on.
What you got for us?
Well, I suppose, I'm not sure if it's really happened to me or others, or I feel like it's going to happen. No, it's happened. Any kind of wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, okay. Those are always fun.
Yeah, and that's happened a couple times, and it makes me painfully uncomfortable. But the worst part is that sometimes I don't even know it's happening. I can just tell in my colleague's eyes, like, you need to just take care of that situation.
It's not happening now. So.
Nope, not right now.
Thank
all
goodness.
All okay,
I've all got
layers.
Yeah, I wear so many buttons these days.
So we'll tell about the experience of...
Michael wants specifics, man. I'm sorry. You don't get away with anything on this show.
General.
Yeah.
Can this please just be super general? Well, I suppose there is a moment where I'm running around in a circle on stage in my current production. This is great incentive for everybody to come see it now.
Ticket prices may skyrocket earn them. Yes.
And I run in a circle twice around the stage and then come down center. And I'm pulling a prop out of my shirt and notice that something else is coming out of my shirt, and very like smoothly trying to just yank that up. But so I don't know. It was dark.
Problems with anatomy. Oh
yeah,
my,
yeah.
Theater life, right?
My hope is that the dim lighting, the moody lighting, did not reveal anything else. But I will never know.
One of the things about theaters, you can't get a take two on that.
That's true. And that's also one of the beauties.
Yeah,
that's
you can't right. pause it.
Right. That's right. And yet you survived it, and life goes on. Right.
Yeah,
that's
keep going.
Cool. James Bain.
What you got, James?
Oh wow! I guess mine involves with nudity as well, but
of course it does.
Yeah,
way to raise the class on the show here, right. James. Thanks a lot, man.
Well, you did invite a Marine on.
Hoorah!
we're not known for our PR. At SC, in our we do a rep, and we have three plays running for, and it's basically. The culmination of your graduation of your 3 years there, and one of the plays I had to be completely undressed and running around, and it's really great when your mother and brother and aunt and mm-hmm. They all like, oh, he's graduating from this really nice college and he's gonna have his master's in theater and let's go, they're coming from my mom's in Tennessee, very nice Southern lady, and come in and watch her grown son, do things in the arts, and she couldn't be more proud of.
Yeah.
And then she has to see me run around like that. And
but did she not know before?
I didn't know.
You didn't. You didn't warn her.
No, I'm not good. How do I? Hey, mom.
Would she have come? Do you think she would have?
Yeah,
bailed
she on sat her down.
I have
had a little chat with her.
I am so fortunate. I have like one of the most supportive mothers out there. Like. And I think she has to be because my little brother is so much like smarter, and so I got to be tall,
yeah.
And my brother got to be—he's a nuclear physicist,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I'm
a nuclear physicist.
And it's good work if you can find it.
Really. Yeah, right. and she's like, and this is my son, the actor. What are you doing right now? Well, I'm running around the stage naked.
That's right.
Yeah.
Making everybody really proud.
Oh, my goodness. Yep, yeah. And having your mom sit there, that's got to be an interesting experience. Yeah.
She's like, that's my son.
I got to say, those were some fun stories. And, James, I got to say one more time, what a great thing you're doing. Keep up with that because that's just awesome. And good work by the actors.
Yes,
this is a really cool thing
Katie
that they do.
James.
Supporting new playwrights. I love that. That's really, really great.
I just want to say real fast that, like, thank you for having us here. And those, Katie's play is amazing. I feel very blessed to have my play up there, but the other nine plays are incredible.
Yeah.
They're unique in their own way, and they're writing, and we have so many talented people, and I'm so fortunate to be on stage, to share the stage with Katie and all the other members there, and, be under Tim and Cynthia's tutelage, and,
yeah.
It's just... It's an incredible place, and I feel very fortunate to be there.
Yeah, we both do. Thank you for
being here today. We appreciate
great to see you both, and best wishes with this. Her name is Katie Zuckerman. That's spelled C-A-D-Y, if you want to look her up. His name is James Bain III. Is that correct?
James Bain.
You'll find him online as well. Do you guys have social media accounts? Can people follow you there?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Instagram is at Katie Z.
Cool.
Instagram is James Bain.
Awesome. That's great. And obviously, the show's name is Angels, Devils, and Other Things. It's a collection of 11 short stories at the Actors Gang Theater. We highly recommend you get out there and see that.
Absolutely.
Michael,
when will I see you again, sir?
Well, I'm going to be here next week for a very important show for you and I. Yeah,
it is.
Why is it an important show?
It is the the show that takes us into our eighth year.
That's right.
Wow.
Doing this.
Started with
the, well, thank you. Started with the amazing Paul Strolley, who we love so much and who is now off doing great, great work. And certainly my last couple of years here with you, Michael, have been a blast. And I look forward to seeing you on our eighth anniversary.
Absolutely.
I'm going to expect a
there
hug.
There will be no dancing.
Hey, where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.